Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of Can We Talk Radio. My name is Raz Williams, your host, bringing you Can We Talk live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, today's going to be a good show. We're going to continue our relationship series, and today we're going to be going in an area that's rarely discussed and even considered spooky. But, you know, guys, we're going to get deep tonight, and you may hear some things that you've never heard before and things that may seem kind of outlandish, ridiculous, but just tell those people and listen intently and really hear what we have to say tonight, and you'll definitely get a lot of good information. And tonight's show is titled The Reality of Spiritual Warfare Pertaining to Relationships and Marriages. Over the last couple of weeks, we identified if you are single and how you can know what to look for to help you identify the right person. And last week, we talked about cleaning house and talked about making sure you are relationship material. This week, we're going to look at the area of the supernatural and really look into how it can have a profound effect on your relationships and marriage. There is a 50% divorce rate amongst Christians, and that's a significant statistic of spiritual defeat. Also, failure in marriage doesn't always reveal itself in divorce. Some of the most bitter marriages I've seen never divorce. So Satan, through his demonic kingdom, is warring against all marriages and is also keeping many from getting married. There have been countless stories of believers going through mishaps and situations and resistance as they approach their wedding ceremony. In one case, I heard of a minister who shared that his own marriage was strained almost to the breaking point when his last daughter was getting married. This story is not atypical, and over again, I've heard similar situations and comments where Satan is really trying to prevent marriages from taking place or is trying to break up existing long-standing godly marriages. The reason is apparent. When we begin to understand more fully that when a wedding takes place, it has significance in the spirit realm because marriage is a sacred institution. Every time the marriage ceremony is performed, it speaks of a day when the ultimate wedding will take place. That's the wedding between God's Son and his bride, which is the church or the body of believers. Because of this, Satan is doing everything he can to keep the marriages from happening and to prevent any godly marriages from taking place. So what does this mean? He attacks singles from the spiritual realm by attacking their minds, their thoughts, and their decision processes, planting his thoughts into their minds. Why? Only to keep them far away from the godly spouse that God intends them to marry and compel them to marry an ungodly spouse or an imposter. I was reading a book preparing for this show, and it states that just as God made the woman in the garden and brought her to Adam, God is also the personal director that introduces the right woman to the right man in the attraction phase. And God does the work in the attraction phase through grace. However, only a renewed mind renewed in the Word of God will enable a person to be absolutely sure in the identification of the right man or right woman for their lives. But through warfare, Satan often tries to intercept this by inserting his lies and doubts into the mindset of these people, and also by inserting his choice of a mate for their lives, for the man and for the woman, to block a spiritual union from taking place. So without a doubt, guys, the person you marry will definitely influence you spiritually, either in a good way or a bad way. Hence, an unsafe spouse or a spiritually incompatible spouse probably will at least severely hurt you spiritually, if not destroy your salvation. The divine institution of marriage was established as the basic building block of the human race. Before there was children or cities, before there were nations, the perfect relationship was marriage. The man and the woman were complete with each other. Satan's attack on the first marriage in the garden caused the fall of man and the loss of rulership of the world. So today, Satan is vigilant in his attack upon marriage. His demons are actively engaged in the destruction of marriage, and warfare involves tactics and strategies. You cannot win without a strategy. So what's happening, guys? We're going to talk about this tonight, and we're going to get into the spirit realm. We're going to get into how the enemy attacks marriages and relationships, and we're going to expose Satan's tactics. Again, it may sound spooky, and for those of you who are not used to going deep in this kind of area, but it's definitely necessary. And so, guys, just listen intently as we, you know, really get into this topic. And I want to introduce my co-host for tonight. We have Nikki on the line. Nikki, how you doing?
I'm good, Rav. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Nikki, man, this is one of your – I know this is one of your favorite topics, man. What do you think of tonight's topic?
I think it's cool as usual. I think it's a serious and necessary topic. I don't think it's something to be taken lightly, and I don't think it's something to play with when we're talking about spiritual warfare.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nikki, what do you think of last week's topic? I think we had a good show last week, huh?
Man, as soon as we started scratching the surface, it was time to end. I think we could have kept going with that.
Absolutely. Definitely. Definitely. Next, we have Mr. Ronnie Ambrose in the building. How you doing, Ronnie?
I'm good, Raz. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. So, Ronnie, man, actually, first of all, what do you think of last week's topic, and what do you think of tonight's topic?
Well, I know last week's topic was it was great. It was uplifting. I enjoyed the fact that we got some response from the callers, and it was a blessing as usual. You know, bringing some things out for discussion is just a real relief. You know, these are some topics we're dealing with. People don't really get to talk about, you know, during the sermon, or, you know, you don't know how to address these things, but they're happening, and so I'm just glad we're being able to present them in a way people can get something from. And tonight's topic is really the root of what we see, you know, the spiritual part, the part that we ignore, the part that we misunderstand, the spiritual part. So just to be able to address it tonight, I believe it's going to be a blessing.
Absolutely. And I want to introduce back to Can We Talk Radio Minister Rodney Fulton. Rodney, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, brother Rodney. So, Rodney, man, you weren't here last week, but we've been doing a little series on relationships, and as far as making sure that you find the right person and making sure you're right for yourself. And like I said, tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. So, Rodney, what do you think of tonight's topic?
I think tonight's topic is good, man. I think this is something that definitely needs to be discussed, needs to be seriously taken seriously, and people need to understand and know that, you know, you are in spiritual warfare, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not. You are in warfare. Every day that you wake up, the enemy is hitting you in your mind, he's hitting you in your emotions, and he's a continuum liar. And hit from every angle, and people who don't understand that know that they're gonna fall into the deception of the enemy every time, and it's gonna jack your lives up. You know, so I think this is a good topic to tackle, good topic to deal with, and bring out some truths from the Word of God to help people, you know, to navigate through, you know, spiritual warfare, because it's happening, whether if you know it or not, it's going down.
Yep, absolutely. Now, Rodney, what would you tell people that say, you know, I don't believe in this stuff, this is mumbo jumbo, yeah, I just want to go to church and just give me a good message and go home and I'm good, you know, I mean, what would you tell those people listening tonight?
Well, for one, I tell those people, you know, that spiritual warfare exists, whether if you believe it or not. I mean, you can look at the world and the chaos that's in the world today and know that spiritual warfare exists. People are doing things, and you ask them why they do it, they can't even give you a reason why they're doing it. You know, just for an example, you know, the young girl that got abducted you know, the other day, the Amber Alert. I mean, what would possess a person, you know, to take a young girl? You know, you got kids being molested, kids being killed, you know. I mean, just things of that nature. The world is ugly, man, and the devil is real, God is real, and, you know, it's happening. The people need to wake up, you know. People need to wake up and quit sleeping, especially within the body of Christ, you know. A person who's not of faith, the person that's in the world, they don't understand or know about spiritual warfare because the light has not shined in their life yet, you know. But once the light shines, you know, you need to wake up and recognize that it's going on.
So absolutely, man. That's a good point. You know, and I was thinking about this, man, and I was thinking if someone took a hammer and smashed the windows of your car, you're not going to say which hammer did that. You're going to say which person did that. So I think tonight is really going to uncover and reveal the source of a lot of these issues. Not saying that it's completely the reason or the cause of it, but of course we know there's another force, another factor to consider what's probably causing a lot of these issues that people go on, you know, have going on in their lives. So I think tonight's going to be a good topic, man. So I want to go to the news and then see what Ronnie has. What we got going on today, Ronnie?
Okay, I'm just going to bring up two things. This first article I found right here is it's about Christians being judgmental. And so there was a 2013 study by the Barna Group that reveals 90% of non-Christian young people ages 16 through 29 view Christians as judgmental. And an additional 50% of young people who are Christians view Christians as judgmental. And so this research alone should be a wake-up call for believers. And, you know, I want to pass this around. So they go into a few scriptures as far as, like, Jesus said not to judge or you will be judged. And I kind of think this article is missing the biblical point, because the body of Christ right now is the – We're ushering people to the truth. And so sometimes, you know, dealing with the truth is also addressing problems. So I think people have a misunderstanding when a believer approaches somebody who's living in sin or who's dealing with something, and we're not accusing you of being drugs and alcohol. We're not accusing you of being homosexuality or you know, mean-spirited. We're telling you these things are bad for you. We're not saying that you're bad. We're saying that the sin that you're caught up in is bad for you. And so I just think that, you know, I'm speaking for the believers out there that actually get involved, because whether you guys believe it or not, you know, like the percentage of people who think Christians are judgmental, whether you believe it or not, it takes a lot for us to go beyond the friendliness and the niceness and the superficial conversation to say, hey, brother, you got a problem and you need to address it before it overtakes you. That's not easy for us to do. We're not. I don't walk around looking to pick a fight and things of that nature. And this message is not my own. This message comes from God. And so if I'm telling you something, I'm telling you before God and for you and for your benefit. And so, you know, they tried to use the judge not lest you be judged. And, you know, why do you look at somebody's speck and you don't deal with the beam in your own eye? We're dealing with the beam in our eye. We're dealing with it. We've submitted to God, and now all we're doing is being messengers and being obedient by saying, apart from God, you're going to die in your sin. So we're not calling you the sin. We're just letting you know this thing has the power to separate them from God. So, you know, that story, they tried to dress it up. They tried to dress it up, you know, with the statistics and the numbers of people that think Christians are judgmental. But I think they missed the fact that we're not, those people that are reaching out to others, we're not calling you evil. We're calling the evil that you're dealing with dangerous. And so we're just trying to shed light. And so, you know, I want to pass that to you, Raz. You know, if you had anything to say about, you know, the criticism that Christians are judgmental.
Well, that's a good, you know, good job as usual, Ronnie. And here's my opinion on the matter, bro. And it's like, we live in the world right now where everybody's trying to be politically correct but spiritually incorrect. And to me, it's a ploy to shut out the voice of God. For example, how many preachers do you know that are still preaching against homosexuality in their pulpits right now as we speak? Not many. Why? Because they want to be politically correct. They don't want to seem as being offensive. Not saying that we're preaching hate, but because they want to be able to seem like they're not rocking anything. And I think that should we judge people as far as who's going to heaven or hell? No, we should not. Should we judge people from a position of hatred and holier than thou? No, we should not. But we should still judge people's fruits. But first of all, the Bible does say, like, you know, first cast out of the take out the log in your own eye before looking at the log in your brother's eye. So to that effect, we should judge ourselves first, but also we should, in love, be able to correct somebody if, you know, and advise them if they're going down the wrong path. But not because we love them. We don't want to see them going down that path. So that's my comment, bro.
Oh, that's true. And that's pretty much what it is. Brother Rodney, did you want to say anything about the Christians being judgmental?
Yeah. Kind of like, the way I look at it is when you go to a doctor, right?
Okay.
The doctor gives you a diagnosis that you have cancer and what you need to do to get healed of the cancer. You know, and it's the same way with us as believers. We're just giving a sinner just a diagnosis of what's wrong with him. We're not judging. We're just pointing out the cancer that's in his life and how he needs to deal with it. You know, now, a lot of people who go to the doctor, they don't want to hear no bad news. They don't want to hear nothing. You know, it's the same way with a sinner. They don't want to hear the truth. You know, and that's why they get offended. They get offended because of the truth. You know, and then they take that offense out on the messenger, which is us, the believers, who are bringing the truth. So when you look at it from that perspective, you know, but once they get cured and once they get healed and once they the diagnosis is dealt with, they're going to love you for it. They may hate you in the beginning. You know, they may hate you in the beginning and because, see, sin has blinded their eyes. So they're not seeing what you see. You know, you're outside looking in. They're inside. So they don't see what's really going on. But us as Christians, we're outside and we see what's going on inside the house, inside the kitchen. So we can, you know, find out the things that they, you know, need to deal with, not only that, but help them. Not just give them the diagnosis, give them the medicine, which is Jesus, and lead them down the road that they need to go, if they're willing to follow. You know, so a lot of times the world, Jesus said the world is going to hate you. Why? Because it first hated him. You know, don't think it's strange that they hate you, because they hated Christ. So we as Christians, we're going to get hit. That is letting us know that we're doing our job. You know, so that's the way I look at it.
That's right. That's right. Nikki, you want to say anything about Christians being too judgmental?
I'm a come from a different angle, though. Of course, with dealing with people in the world, you know, as believers, it is our job to, in love, address the situation. But you also said that there are other believers who felt like believers were judgmental. And in that aspect, I would have to say, because I actually went through that. God actually had to sit me down, and I didn't even realize it, because what happened is you have the, once y'all say, and once y'all in ministry, we have the connotation sometimes to, for instance, like myself, when I was doing it, you know, I was saved and I loved the Lord, right? So I felt like I would hear a preacher preach or something like that, and I would hear them say, like, basically, like, somebody fell short or somebody had an adulterous affair, and they repented, or Christians who've had abortions. And in my mind, the way I felt and I expressed, man, you can't be saved in doing that. You really ain't saved then, or you really ain't had no relationship with God for real, you know what I'm saying, if you still coming up short like that. You know, and of course, God allowed me to go through the things, and then when I was going through, he let me see. He said, now you love me, and you worship me, and you had a real relationship, and you went through some things, so, you know, so don't stand in judgment of somebody else. And I think that that's where the other believers who say believers are judgmental, because sometimes we do look our nose down at people who have come short. But everybody got something that they've done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
that's
where
right.
One person's might be out where everybody can see it, yours might be in the closet where don't nobody see it but you and God. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it may be more compassionate towards people. You know, if somebody expressed to me that they fell short, man, I'm not judging you. I'm praying for you, and I'm uplifting you for real this time. Instead of the old me a few years back, to be like, man, well, you need to go check your relationship because you must have had no real connection with God in the first place. So
that's
I think
funny.
That's what
that's
other
cool.
believers believe when they say we're. I mean, and we are all of us here on this show have either done it, had it done to us, or know people who do it.
That's good. That's good. That's good. I'm thankful you guys expressed that. For anybody who understands this topic, you know, and it's not a time to just shut up and don't say nothing because you're being judgmental. It's a time, like Nikki said, to first check your approach. Remember, you was there too, and function for God in love, because it is up to the body of Christ to bring people out of the darkness. And so if we just do it in love, you know, and like Rodney said, you know, you got to have a bedside manner. You know, doctors have bedside manner. So let's just work on our bedside manner. That don't mean be quiet. That don't mean sit there and ignore it, because you have the power of God with you when you open your mouth. And when you do it in love, the Father's going to work through you. And so it's not about being judgmental. If I say this alcohol is bad for you, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you something that's a natural fact. And so, you know, but yeah, let's for the sake of this conversation, you know, for the believers out there that are on a mission, on fire for God, because I know exactly what you're saying, Nikki, and I agree with Raz and Rodney. We've all been in this situation. You know, let's work on our bedside manner, and let's know that, you know, if I'm coming to you in truth and in love and you reject it, it's not because of me. You know, I won't let it be because of what I said to you. It'll be something between you and the Spirit that's working through you. And so just for the believers out there, you know, don't take this as a time to be quiet because you're worried about being judgmental. If you go in love and judge yourself first, before you go forward, you're just given a diagnosis and the medicine, like Rodney said. So, you know, if you are going to approach something about, hey, man, maybe you shouldn't, you know, go out every weekend, you got a wife, go also give them some medicine. Give them a reason why, spiritual medicine. And so that's the first part of the news. And the other thing I was going to bring up, I'm sure everybody's seen it on TV, about the Catholic church teacher who got married, then he got fired. But then the protests that have kicked in to support him. So we got a bunch of people who say they believe in the Bible actually going along with the course of this world. And so, you know, I'm just going to quickly pass that around. Like, this is not to my position on this story is not, I don't have any sides on this story. But the thing is, if this is a Bible teaching place, the homosexuality has no place in the Bible. And so, I, you know, I guess the institution was going about it rightly by saying we can't do both. We can't advocate the homosexuality. We're giving a mixed message. And so my focus is more on the parents and the teachers and the students that are protesting, you know, the fact that this Catholic church is trying to do what the Bible says. So, I just wanted to pass that around. What do you guys think about the Catholics that want the gay teacher to come back, even though the Bible says there's no place for that. What do you think about that, Brother Rod?
Word of God,
Rodney?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Yeah. So the question was that the church didn't want the gay Catholic priest back, right?
Right.
Well, I think they're doing biblical sound doctrine. They're operating in sound doctrine. You know, it's not a judgmental situation. We're just saying that, hey, according to the Word of God, we don't agree with your lifestyle. Your lifestyle has no place within the kingdom of God. Not that you don't have a place within God, but your lifestyle.
Thank you.
Yeah. As a believer, it does not fit. God has
said, right.
It does not fit the standard of God. So, and we're not going to endorse your beliefs, you know, because the Word
right.
of God is final authority, and that's what we live by, and that's what we go by. So, yeah, I'm in 100% agreement with what they're doing, because, you know, there are situations where we have heard a pastor stand up and announce to the congregation that they're gay, and the congregation stands up and give them an applause.
Wow.
Kind of mess there we go. You know what I'm saying? I've heard of that. Even in Pasadena, there was a church and ministry down there where the pastor was gay, and his church is packed every Sunday. Every Sunday. You know, so it's about time. You know, we as Christians, we have to take a stand and say, no, we're not going to stand for this. We don't agree with it. We love you. We're not judging you as far as judging you, condemning you to hell. But what we're saying is, according to your lifestyle, we don't agree with it. We're not going to accept it, and we will not tolerate it within the kingdom of God.
That's good. That's good.
You know,
Nikki,
yeah.
You got anything to say about that?
No, I agree with Rodney, 100%. It's like, you know, the Bible even speaks of if things are not going right, if somebody is out of order in church, they're supposed to be sat down. And so
yeah,
I think that although, you know, I think they were right by a canon, oh boy. You know,
yeah.
So.
What about you, Raz? You got any opinion on this?
Oh, man, I agree with what Ronnie said and what Nikki just said. I think that, you know, definitely he should be sat down. And more importantly, I you know, it's amazing how the congregation was standing up for this dude. And, you know, it's interesting how more and more in today's society, how, you know, homosexuality is becoming more accepted and as a right lifestyle, you know, and it's even amongst God's people. Oh, they're just different. They're okay, you know. I'm not saying they're not okay, but that's just something I just noticed when you're telling the story. But
they're not,
I agree.
Okay.
What did you say?
In the sense that they're not okay as far as, you know, committing the sin, but as far as okay, I mean, you know, they're still human beings. You know, we have to love them. But I'm saying that what I'm trying to say is that. You know, the lifestyle is more laissez-faire. It's more accepted now. And to the extent where church people are sticking, they were sticking up for this guy. Am I not right, Monty? Is that what the story's saying?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to bring that to the table for anybody who's on the outside looking in. And when they're showing you the support from Bible believers that are in favor of something that God opposes, you know, don't be confused by that. Don't be misled by that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I wanted, you know, to pass this around so they can hear it from, you know, we're Bible believers. We're not doing this because it's fashionable. We're doing it because it's true. It's true. And it profits, it's health to our soul and our bodies to do what God is requiring us to do. So for those that see this story, because I know they're going to drag it out and prolong it, and, you know, he might sue, and, you know, don't be misled by the support for what's wrong according to the scriptures. You know, you guys as believers need to, you know, stay on one side, and that's God's side. And, you know, this is the patience. The Bible says this is the patience of the saints, that we endure even these attempts of confusion. And, you know, we endure, meaning we stay with the Father. If you look throughout the scriptures, it says endure and hold on, and those that endure to the end, you know. So don't let this Okay. Don't let people interfere with your walk or confuse you, you know. Just stay on God's side, you know. God hasn't changed his mind on that sort of activity. And just like Rodney says, there's a place for that human being in the kingdom of God, but not for for that lifestyle or activity. So just wanted to bring that up for anybody who doesn't know, you know, what that is, so they don't be confused by the support of believers for something that God is against. You know, go ahead and have the mind of Christ. So that's it for the news.
Hey, good job, Ronnie, as usual, man. That's some good information, man.
God bless you guys.
Man, we seem to be uncovering some really good stuff these days, man. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Absolutely. Well, guys, look, if you're tuning into the show for the first time, we're talking about the reality of spiritual warfare as it pertains to relationships and marriages. Guys, the number to call in is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you can email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. If you have questions or comments, guys, please feel free to call in. We want to have as many people calling with questions or comments, okay? So listen, guys, warfare is real, guys. My definition is this, and I want to give my definition of the Bible first and foremost. The Bible is a spiritual book about a spiritual father and the relationship with his spiritual children and the laws that govern the spiritual realm where the real world is, which is then manifested in the natural as the shadow. So, yes, things like poverty, it's a shadow of what's already up there. Is there something stealing your blessings in the realm of the spirit before they manifest, despite your tithes and your seeds of offering? You see, some people are so heartbroken to bits that they seem not to make any progress in life. Why is that? Whenever that situation is at play, you're guaranteed there's a thief in the spirit realm stealing. The Bible talks about the destroyer, the devourer. There are also desert spirits and empties and wasters. The majority who come to church on Sunday for entertainment and wake up on Monday to do the same old situation, staring them in the face, I mean, that's sad. One chief area that's an area of warfare these days is the area of relationships that we're going to talk about. And this should explain the high divorce rate that we're experiencing, even in churches amongst Christian people where it should not be so. So I want to look at, why is the covenant of marriage under attack? Why does it seem so increasingly hard and more difficult for godly singles first to find each other, to accept each other in love, and then come together and join in marriage? Why is this? I noticed that Satan didn't say anything to Adam whilst he was naming the animals. He never said anything to him while he was out there tending the garden. But he said something to him as soon as God introduced Eve on the scene. Because when Eve showed up on the scene, now Adam had the opportunity to multiply the image of God on the earth. So it wasn't Adam the devil was after. It wasn't Eve the devil was after. He was after the image of God. What does God's image mean? It means that they started to duplicate godly children in love, because God is love, who when they grow up, they will imitate and mimic what they see their parents doing and do the same thing, which means duplicating the image of God over and over and over again until God has images of himself populating the entire universe and the planet. So what did Satan want to do? He wanted to take over the world, because he wanted to destroy God's plan for mankind. The way he could do this was to interfere and hinder the plan of marriage. So what does he do? He puts men with men and women with women. Why? Because now they cannot duplicate the image. Ronnie, what do you think about my comment?
I totally agree. You know, I totally agree. This is why so many couples are going through so much. This is why so many children are growing up in single parent homes. This is why so many children are learning how to perpetuate the dysfunctional household. It's because the enemy in the spirit has attacked their parents. And so, just like you said earlier, when I see a couple, I got, you know, I know we all know a friend or family member who's, you know, whether it be the mom is on her own, she can't get along with the father, or the father just can't seem to, you know, the mother and father can't seem to to see eye to eye, so they're always in conflict, they are in court, they're always fighting, everything's dysfunctional. But while the mother and father are dueling, are coming against each other, the thing is the child is left to watch all this, and the child is processing it. The child is affected by this, and therefore the child is under attack due to how vulnerable the kid is, because the parents are busy fussing and fighting. So they don't have time to spiritually cover, spiritually instruct, spiritually correct the household. So the person is vulnerable to the wiles of the enemy.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point. Minister Wadney, same question to you.
First of all, you must understand that that Satan is against family, period.
Yep.
He's against family in any way, form, or fashion. He hates the idea of family because it represents God and holiness and impureness. So the enemy is after the family. He's after to destroy the family. Because once he takes the father out of the house, you know, whichever way that he can, through lustful desires, you know, ungodly attractions to other women, even to other men. You know, you have men that are married that are struggling in their own sexuality with other men. So the enemy, you know, and one thing you got to understand about the devil, he's a perverted being, very perverted. So, you know, his whole thing is, he wants to separate, conquer, and divide. And that's his way of trying to get back at God. And he tries to get back at God at any way, form, or fashion. And he hates the idea of marriage because it's holy, it's pure. And when you're in marriage, you know, it's a holy thing. It's good before God. And anything that's good before God, the devil hates it. And he definitely hates family because it's good for God. And, you know, and then another thing is he's after the younger generation. He's after your children. The Bible talks about how can you come in and take the man's good or spoil his good, but first you bind the strong man. And the strong man is the man of the house. So if you combine the strong man, see, the devil don't want your TV. He don't want your car. He don't want your house. But what he does want, he wants your children. He wants your children. And he wants whatever gift that God has given him, he wants it to use it for his glory, to represent his kingdom. You know, so that's why there's so much lustful things on TV. You know, like when me and my sons watch football and basketball and all that, as soon as the commercials come on, we have to turn our heads. And the reason why we turn our heads, because we have to guard our hearts with all diligence. For out of this flows the issues of life. And I'm not going to sit there and allow those seeds to be planted in my heart, you know, because nobody is immune. Like Minister Nikki was saying, nobody is immune, and we all have something. But what do you do when that thing is presented to you? Are you going to cover your heart? Are you going to guard your heart? Are you just going to sit there and flow with the rest of the world, flow with the current? You know, we as Christians, we go against the current, we go against the grain. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, so, and my thing is, like I said, the enemy, he hates marriage, he hates relationships, you know, he hates family, you know, because he wants to come in and break up that covenant relationship that we have before God. And that's something that we have to hold dear to, that's something we have to cherish, that's something we have to fight for. Yes, you got to fight. You know, I could just attest to some of the trials and tribulations that me and my wife went through. Me and my wife were separated back in 2000, we were separated for a year. And, you know, I had to fight. I had to get myself back right with God. I had walked away from God. You know, not that I was out there just all foul and doing crazy stuff, but I had got to a point to where, you know, I had fallen off. And I had to come to realization, man, I can't do this without God. And see, and that was, you know, and the enemy, I had my son was born at the time. You know, that was the enemy coming in, trying to conquer and divide until, you know, I woke up and I saw that. I said, oh, no, devil, no, you're not. You know, and me and my wife, man, God just restored our marriage, restored us, and we're marching on for God, man. It's been 13 years. Not saying that the 13 years has been all good, but, hey, man, we're standing. We love each other. I love her. She loves me. I got her back. She got my back. And that's the way it's going to be, to death do us part. You know, and those are the things that we fight for as Christians. We got to fight, because if you think you're exempt, you know, from challenges and things of that nature, man, I don't know where you're at. You know, you think you know what I'm saying? So that's what you on that, brother.
That's absolutely right. That's a good point, Ms. Wadi. That's an excellent point. Nikki, same question to you. Nikki, actually, I want to ask you, because, you know, I know you like this topic we're talking about tonight. And, Nikki, how would you describe the spirit realm? I mean, let everyone know, like, what's your definition of the spirit realm and how it plays an effect on our lives here on this earth realm as believers and even in non-believers, just human beings.
Well, the spirit realm in itself, I mean, first of all, it's real. And a lot of people, Satan has a lot of people, including believers, deceived on the fact that certain things, because we can't always see it with our natural eye, that it doesn't exist. And as far as going back to where Satan attacking marriage from the beginning, I agree with what both Rodney and Ronnie said, but I also believe that, I know that Satan attacks the union, the marriage, because of the union. Because if you've ever been married, like both Rodney is married and Ronnie is married and I have been married, when you are on one accord with your spouse, oh my goodness, I'm talking about the gates of heaven, like, open. There is, like, absolutely nothing that you can't achieve when you and your spouse are on one accord. And it's like, because it's like you guys are, like, back to back. And, you know, I can see this direction, you can see that direction. But when you're by yourself, it's not that God doesn't show you favor, because he doesn't. But when you're by yourself, you're seeing things from one perspective. You know what I mean? But when you have a spouse that's saved and being led by the Spirit, and you guys are on one page, you know, and Satan knows that. And so that's why he attacked the union from the gate. And then, yeah, he goes after your children, and he goes after people, too, that are new to the faith, because he wants to attack your gifts before you even realize who you are in Christ. So the spiritual realm, it's no joke. And like I said, it's nothing to be played with, because once you start calling you can't be superficial calling yourself going to war in the spirit against Satan, because this cat been around for a long time. You know what I mean? And it's like you get out there and you start trying to be superficial and going up against Satan's kingdom, trust me, he's going to come back with something if you're not prepared. Your feet need to be grounded when you're going into war against Satan. And that's my comment.
Man, I'm going for some spiritual warfare right now. Nick's taking my lines, man. Can we stop this, please? But anyway, but Nikki, that was a good comment, man. Nikki, I want to ask you, you're single like I'm single, and I wanted to ask you, for singles, how do you... what is your opinion of how the enemy attacks us as singles from either trying, well, I would say from keeping us from being married by maybe, I mentioned earlier in my intro that one of the things that he will do, he tries to attack the way we think, distort our perceptions, how we see the other person or other people, and how we would see God's choice of mate for our lives, and all in an attempt to make us choose the wrong partner. A partner that he would want us to have that will ultimately bring, make us miss our destinies. What do you have to say about that?
Well, what I have to say about that is how he attacks us as single people is, although we are believers, we are still in this world. We're still on earth. And so what happens is we are human beings. And we have, I've said this before on one of the other shows, it is in us to want to be with somebody. We have a desire to want to love and be loved. You know, I mean, that's why God, one of the reasons why God created Eve, because he looked at Adam and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so what happens is us as singles, especially believers that's holding out for, you know, for God to bring us the right person, we see other people and we see them, you know, booed up or going to the movies or hold hands or whatever the case may be. And that's what we want and we desire it. So what ends up happening is Satan tries to attack us as singles in our flesh with being lonely, with issues with hormonal things, or, you know, we see people and they appeal to our flesh, because like I've said 1,000 times, Satan is not going to approach you with a pitchfork and horn. You're going to know to go the other way. Satan is going to approach you with what appeals to your flesh. And that's another reason why we have to stay on our face before the Father. And because he approaches us with what appeals to our flesh, a lot of times, single believers, they fall because they're tired of waiting. They're just tired. And, but, I mean, if you know like I know, you'll go ahead and wait, because nobody wants to go through, you know, unnecessary hurts, heartaches, and pain, and you don't want to connect with the wrong person. And because it's harder to serve God the way you need to serve God if you have a mate that is dead weight, just bottom line dead weight. So that's what I believe.
Absolutely. That's an excellent comment, Nikki. And guys, listen, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the reality of spiritual warfare as it pertains to relationships and also marriages. And the number to call in, guys, is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Well, you know, spiritual warfare means that there's war. That war is going on. There's fighting going on. And I want to kind of talk about Satan's the army of hell. How does Satan wage war against us in the unseen realm as it pertains to relationships and marriages? And I want to talk about there's four different ways he does this, and I want to talk about the first way, or his first first rank of soldiers, I would say, that work for him. I would say we call them principalities. Principalities are top ranking demonic beings. They're called principalities, and the word in Greek means chief. And these are the chief demons which correspond with the archangels among the holy angels. The Apostle Paul wrote that these princes hold sway over the souls of people, and that can be found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. A principality is what assigns demonic spirits to operate in the disobedience. Also, these principalities rule over continents and nations, and that can be found in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. The prophet Daniel was informed by Gabriel that the principality of Persia had hindered his arrival to Daniel for 3 weeks, and Gabriel had to summon the archangel Michael to take on the archdevil of Persia. So these demons are subject, but they're subject to Christ, and that's in Ephesians 1. 20 to 22. I'm sorry, I'm reading from my Bible here. And they're also subject to spiritual believers such as us and you guys listening. And that can be found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And this explains that Christ had raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places along with him. And I want to talk about powers. Powers is also described as a ranking of soldier under Satan's army. And these rankings of evil officers are of darkness. It comes from the Greek word exousia, which means delegated authority, like that of a policeman. These demons seem to operate invisibly in governmental centers, such as national governments, city governments, and state governments. These powers cannot separate us from the love of God. That's in Romans 8:38. These powers often cause a lot of problems and issues amongst tribes of people and races and what have you. And underneath the powers, you have the rules of darkness, and these are the next level of demonic leaders that are affecting the world today. They take hold in governments, and they affect rulers, offices of governments, and the court systems and legislators. They're responsible for affecting society through legalism and policies that are put out there by the government.
The next ranking underneath that is what the Bible describes as spiritual forces of wickedness. And these are, this means literally in the Greek, it means spiritual fakes. The word wicked is in Greek is called porneia, from which we get fornication and pornography. These are the unclean spirits we deal with on a daily basis. Some of these spirits are named as Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, Abaddon, or Apollyon, meaning destroyer. Demon means torment the mind. These low-level spirits are the ones we deal with on a daily basis. So Satan's army is well organized, and he has employed his legions as in a way of methods and schemes to really hold us back. So, Minister Martin, wonder if you have anything to comment about that.
Brother, that's you hit the hammer. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head, brother. That's exactly, you know, what's going on. You know, I was doing from our conversation earlier today. I was looking at some of the spirit that's called Amadeus. You know, and this spirit is one that attacks marriages, attacks single women, single ladies, single men. It just tries to conquer and divide marriages, and it hinders people from wanting to get married. And, you know, and for one of the things I do want to say, the Bible talks about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but like you said, principalities, spirits, evil spirits, you know, wickedness in high places. You know, and one of the major things that that the enemy wants to do, he wants to talk to you. That's why the Bible says that we are to cast down every thought, every evil imagination that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. You know, and that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. You know, the enemy talked to her. You know, she should have never had a conversation with the devil. Why? Because he opened her eyes to some things that were false. You know, and she fell prey just from one conversation with the devil. And that's what the enemy wants to do. You know, look at the Tower of Babel when God came down and confused their language. God had to confuse their language because they were trying to build a tower, you know, to reach heaven, you know, but they were doing it from the wrong motive. But at the same time, the enemy saw that, and that's what he does now today, even in marriages, where he would try to confuse the language of a couple. You know, like Minister Nikki was saying, one person could be saying this and that and the other one saying this, that, and the other, and when there's no agreement, it's hard for two to walk together. You can't walk together. So, and the way the enemy tries to conquer and divide, his first tactic, you know, once you get saved, is he's going to attack your mind. You know, and that's why you must renew your mind through the Word of God daily, so that you can look through the lens of the Word of God, you know, instead of the lens of the world, you know, because once you get saved, it's your responsibility to renew your mind, you know, and if you don't renew, that's why the Bible says renew your mind that you may be transformed, you know, transformed. You have to be transformed in the renewing of your mind so that you can see things from God's perspective, you know, and that's my comment.
Absolutely. Ronnie, same question to you, sir.
I agree with Brother Rodney, and I hope that people got that information that you gave. We're up against forces. You know, the enemy is using forces in the unseen realm to get things done in the seen realm, in the natural realm, or in the physical realm. And so it's just like there's a sound spectrum. There's sounds that you can't hear, then there's sounds that you can hear. And so, you know, it's the same with us. We're dealing with forces that we can identify and draw, or, you know, we can take a picture of, and we're also dealing with forces that we can't see. And so if you believe in God, you also have to believe that you have an enemy as well. And so this enemy is operating from the unseen world into your house, into your relationship, you know, to attack you any way that it can. You know, in Ephesians it says the schemes or the wiles or the tricks of the enemy, they're going to keep coming at you. And the thing people don't, the thing I'm encouraging people to see is that when the Savior went into the wilderness to be tested, you know, he went through he fasted 40 days, and when he was at his weakest point, the enemy came and, you know, showed him, what did he show the enemy showed the Savior how much power he had on this earth, and so how much, you know, how much he was able to do, you know, in this physical realm from his, from the unseen realm. So that's one. And on the other thing I want people to recognize about that, that encounter in the wilderness is that when the Savior stood strong against the enemy and the enemy left, you know, the Bible goes on to say that the enemy left until the next opportunity. And so the enemy is looking for opportunities to attack you. So if this, if this foe that we have will have the nerve to go up against the one that is God in the flesh, so he's going to be attacking you as well, and he's looking for opportunities. So it's up to us to be good stewards of our time, of our lives, and make sure we don't present the opportunity for the enemy to attack us, because the unseen realm or the spiritual realm, you know, it, it deals with how would I say, it's sort of like you have to allow it to attack you, you know. And so, but if you're unaware of, you know, what steps am I doing to leave myself open for attack, this is what you want to start addressing. You want to cover yourself. You want to, you know, like dot your I's and cross your T's so that you don't legally give, you know, the enemy a place in your life. And so, yeah, the spiritual warfare is on, and we do need to learn how to navigate it. We're not up against, you're not up against your spouse. You're up with the root of this argument, or the root of this this miscommunication is in the spirit realm. And you need to make sure that you haven't allowed an opportunity, or you haven't presented the devil with an opportunity to rule in a certain area of your life. And so us as believers, we got to be sharp, we got to be aware so that we can help others out of this.
That's a great point, Ronnie, a very good point there. Guys, you know, I want to talk about, I was doing some more research about spiritual warfare, and I want to go in more into detail into the type of spirits and their names and what and their functions as far as Satan warring, you know, engaging in warfare against the believers. And I want to talk about this first spirit, which is a, which is called the spirit of Santer. Santer is a spirit which prevents people from ideas, visions, plans, and also prevents good things from happening in your life. The next is called Nene, which is spelled N-E-E-N-E-E. And this is a spirit that causes people to have incurable diseases such as HIV, and also fights them from being cured, and also causes them to doubt that they can be healed through Jesus Christ. And the next spirit is called Aberta, A-B-E-R-T-A-A, and this causes people to have low inferiority complexes, low self-esteem, and they despise themselves. They look down upon themselves. It also causes limitations and prevents people from going forward in life. And the next thing is you have the spirit is called a familiar spirit, which is an agent of the devil who is in your family. Next is a mammon spirit. It's a spirit which prevents you from becoming rich, makes you misuse money, also makes you people misers, makes you use money wrongly, makes you your money be, to be stolen, makes you have selfish ambitions, and causes poverty. The next I want to discuss is called the marine spirit. And this is pretty interesting because the marine spirit also causes marriage destruction, and it destroys marriages by through seduction. It causes men to be tempted by women. It causes people to speak lustful words. It also causes unmarried people to watch pornography. And there's another spirit called Abcon, which is spelled A-B-C-O-N. And this is the spirit that works against you know, people that are in business, you know, blocking your customers, the sales of goods and services, makes people lazy to work, will not allow you to make a profit. It causes you to have bad customers, causes you to have, you know, just hindrances in the area of trying to make a profit. And I want to talk about incubi and succubi, which the Africans call these night husbands and night wives. These are spirits that have known to visit people in their sleep while they're sleeping and have sexual relations with women and men. I think incubi is with the attacks the women, and the succubi attacks the men.
And because of this, a lot of single people reportedly have not been able to get married because this they have sexual relations with this incubus and succubus spirit, and it becomes like in the spirit world, that becomes their husband. So when a man comes along or a woman comes along, it does everything it can to keep them from coming together in holy matrimony. Or if they do get married, it calls that marriage to demise. So that's one of the those are some of the examples of demonic spirits. Nikki, what do you have to say about that?
Actually, incubus succubus is one I was gonna actually talk about. So I think you like stole my notes and ran off with them. So, but that is true as far as incubus succubus. Some of the other ones you were calling out, I'm gonna have to get a list of those and write them down myself and come against those. But as far as with the single people and married people too, I imagine. The incubus succubus, they're like twin spirits, literally, and they do attack. And like you said, it's when you're sleepy, when a person is sleeping, they try and come and attack. You know, they're full of lust and anger. You know, go hand in hand. So I think that's another reason why people have a lot of issues in trying to have a relationship or have a successful marriage or even a dating relationship, because the enemy, Satan, like I said, he's been around for a long time, so he throws out everything. He tries to cover every base possible to pull you off the mark, and that's why you can't fight. That's why you can't try to fight it naturally, and that's why it is necessary to understand that we are dealing with a spiritual realm, because a lot of people just brush things off, and it's not to be brushed off, because God is not the author of confusion. And if there's confusion that's constantly coming up in different aspects, you need to, as a believer, get down on your face and ask God, what is going on? Show me so I can call it out, so I can come against this thing. But a lot of people, they don't even want to deal with that, you know, because like you said in the beginning, people may be spooked by it, you know, but how can you go into battle and consider yourself to be successful if I'm going into battle, but I don't even have any armor? Or I have armor, but I don't even have any weapons. Or bump all of that, I got armor and weapons, but I don't even know who my enemy is. You know, and that's exactly what believers are doing when they're, you know, they take the first step of getting saved, maybe even baptized, going to church twice a week, if that, you know, getting involved in all the auxiliary projects and all that stuff. But it goes deeper than all of that. And, you know, you just have to know, not only know who your enemy is, but you have to know how to fight him. You can't think that saying Jesus wept is going to just clear everything. And you can't just go into spiritual warfare either. Like the Bible says, there's some that only come out by fasting. So you can't go into warfare, spiritual warfare against the spirit that you haven't even fasted about. You have to know what you're dealing with.
And that's a very excellent point, Nikki. You hit it right on the nail on the head right there. And, you know, it makes me think about situations that I've come across in my life and talk to other people. Like, for example, I've seen with situation where two people come together, a man and a woman come together. They love each other. They're two believers. But for some reason, the man or the woman, they get scared and they sabotage a relationship. Could it possibly be that you think it's you that sabotage a relationship, but it's because there's a spirit that's pulling your strings in the spirit realm that's causing you to be fearful, that's causing you to be doubtful, that's causing you to have all this confusion? Ryan, what do you have to say about that? I think we lost Bonnie there. Nikki, Bonnie there?
I'm here.
Okay, Ronnie, did you hear the question?
Yeah.
Well, repeat the last part again.
I was just saying that I was saying was in unison with what Nikki was saying, that sometimes when I've seen two people come together, they're two believers that come together, but somehow, some way towards the relationship maturing into almost into marriage, then comes confusion, there comes doubt, there comes sabotage from either party, because they're scared or whatever the reason may be. But could it be that there's a spirit, for example, the succubi and incubus spirit, that could be pulling their strings in the spirit realm to prevent them from becoming husband and wife, to prevent them from becoming duplicating the image of God?
Exactly. No, it's true. This is our topic, and just from the conversations and the information that's been coming forth, this is the root of every and any problem begins spiritually. And there's a spiritual attack. First, you have to know that the enemy does not need another godly couple coming together, walking with God, being an example in their neighborhoods, and then raising children that are going to be salt and light as well. So you have to expect the attack. That's the thing. Just like Nikki said, I believe people need to see that it's more than just, okay, I'm saved and I'm cool, and then, you know, I put my gloves off and that's it. No, now the battle is more intense, because you're a soldier in this army, and your circle of influence, or wherever God sends you, what you'll be doing is sowing a seed for God. So as far as the godly couple coming together, that's the time to really, really close and make sure there's no opportunity for the enemy to go ahead and plant seeds of doubt through these spiritual, through his spiritual rankings, whether it be powers or principalities. You have to know that the closer you get to your union, the more intense the enemy is going to try to bring the disarray, to bring the confusion. And the thing is, these are tricks. These are schemes that he uses, that the enemy uses from the spirit world to get you to go against yourself, just like he did Eve. He didn't force nothing down her throat. He used her against her. He used from the spirit realm, he used her, he got into her mind and deceived her into destroying her own destiny. And so we need to be aware for the couples out there that are coming together, especially if you're both saved and you're both going through all the marital, premarital classes at the church and all that. This is time for you guys to really focus on each other and make sure you've eliminated every opportunity for the enemy to attack you, because that's what he's going after. He's not going after somebody who's lost, drinking and smoking lifting up his kingdom. He's going after the ones that might have the opportunity to snatch people out of his kingdom. So, yeah, for the couples that are engaged and saved, you need to really fortify yourselves and be strong in the Lord, because the attack is on.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Minister Rodney, there's a lot of things that I've seen in the church today, and one thing I've noticed is that, godly people that should – if I'm a godly man in a church amongst believers, then I should be attracted to a godly woman. But I see a lot where men are attracted to women in the world, and women are attracted to men out in the world instead of godly men. They think godly men are boring, they're too, goody two shoes, or they point Dexter and whatnot, and vice versa, man. Would you say that spiritual warfare involved in that?
I would say, yeah, because something that one of you touched on, I think it was Minister Nikki, that the enemy is always going to appeal to your flesh. And it's something that, that I was saying earlier about when you come into the kingdom of God, you have to renew your mind, the spirit of your mind, and you have to see things from God's perspective. But, a lot of times men and women go after what they lust for, and that's just the bottom line. They go after what they lust for. They go after what and it is spiritual warfare, because you see all these images on TV. You see all these images of how certain women look, how certain men look, and within the body of Christ, you have men and women who have bought into the system of the world. because that's a world. It's a worldly mentality. It's a worldly image, and that's what they go after. They go after art, and at the same time, they go after what they had when they were in the world, and that's what they want. They try to bring the worldly ways into the kingdom of God, and they, you know, like some of these women, you know, they want thugs. You know, I mean, you know, they want thugs. I mean, you got godly women, good women, who want thugs. Now, that, to me, I don't understand that. What you want with a thug for? He don't love God. He's not serving God. He's not serving God, and he ain't thinking about serving God. I mean, you know, and that's why people go after certain things, because they go after, you know, according to their own lust. You know, it's according to their own lust. And, yes, there's major spiritual implications on that, because if the enemy can get you yoked up with somebody that's not for the kingdom of God. And, you know, a perfect example, it was a young lady I used to go to church with, me and my wife, at another church in Pasadena. She was a good godly woman, had a good job, good career, working in the ministry, you know, doing a lot for the kingdom of God. Well, she started dating this guy, come to find out, the guy, he wasn't saved, so that was the first error. He you know, they were unequally yoked. Two, he said the pastor was a racist. So next thing you know, she winds up marrying this dude, leaving the church, and to this day, she don't even step in the church. What happened? What happened to this sister? Well, she got hooked up with somebody that the enemy sent her. Not somebody that God sent her, but somebody that the enemy has sent her. And it's something that Nikki said, and she was so dead on when she said this. It's better to wait on God. Seek the face of God. Wait on God. Put that flesh into subjection. Like Paul said, I beat my flesh daily. Daily I put this flesh in subjection. You know, and wait on God. Because what God has for you, you know, it's God's best. He asked for you, man, and that person is going to be connected to you. You guys are going to be one. You guys are going to have same purpose, same destiny in God, and you have to wait. You see, the enemy is always going to send you a counterfeit before the real comes, and if you're biting on the counterfeit, you mess your life up. You know, I see so many men and so many women go through unnecessary, like I said, unnecessary trials and tribulations, unnecessary hurt, unnecessary setbacks, because they could not wait on God. You know, the first thing that come walking, because they have these desires to get married, they have these desires to want to be with someone, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with having the desire to have a relationship. But first, let your relationship be sound with God. And I always have the same. Anytime you want something more than you want God, you're just letting God know that you're not ready for it. I'm going to repeat that again. Anytime you desire something more than you desire God, you're just letting God know that you're not ready for it. You know, and look at it, how Nikki touched on Adam in the garden where God said it's not good for man to be alone. Who said that? God said it. Adam didn't come to God and say that. God said it's not good for man to be alone. See, God determined when it was the proper time to bring Adam a wife. God determined that. Not Adam. God determined that. And so, you know, you just have to wait on God, be patient. God knows how to love. I tell you, once you have that intimate relationship with God, you know, I mean, when me and my wife got together, I was serving God. And I had an intimate relationship with God as a man. I wasn't even thinking about a wife at the time. Me and my wife, we became friends. We was working in the ministry. We became friends, and then later on down the line, that's when we begin to hook up, and then we begin to go to God and pray and talk to God about this relationship that God was forming. But when I came out of the world, I had certain women that I dated. There's only a certain type of women that I dated when I was in the world because of the lifestyle that I was living. My wife looks nothing like what I used to date, and my wife is gorgeous to me, beautiful to me. You know what I'm saying? And she looks nothing like what I used to mess with in the world. Why? Because that old man is dead. And I've told God, I want what you have for me. I'm not seeking no image. I'm not seeking what the world says, this, that, the other. So, and there's major implications that enemy has thrown and blindsided men and women within the body of Christ. And that's why I see so many men and women going through relationships like. And that's my comment.
Absolutely. That's an awesome, awesome comment there, Minister Rodney. You know, I want to talk about the spirit of Asmodeus. And Minister Rodney, we were talking about it this afternoon, and you mentioned it recently,
yeah.
a few minutes ago. I want to talk about the, break this wicked spirit down. And the traits associated with this spirit is overpowering tendencies to rage, lust, impetuousness, impurity, and psychic activities. This spirit wars against all marriages and is also keeping many from getting married. He is sometimes referred to the genius of matrimonial discord and jealousy. Because he has remained a relatively unknown spirit, he has masqueraded in many forms, deceiving scores of people and taking them captive. And Asmodeus is generally regarded as a spirit that drove Solomon to all of his excesses. We know that Solomon's end was definitely not the will of God after years of faithful service to the Lord. In his last years, he missed the mark, allowing himself to open up to the wrong spirits. This example alone should prove that none of us are above falling or missing it. And the spirit is also, it's a lustful spirit. It will motivate a marriage partner to be unfaithful, thus bringing an adulterous spirit underneath it. And a lot of marriages have been destroyed because of this spirit. And it's full of rage, extreme jealousy, and physical abuse. And a lie that the Asmodeus spirit tells single people is that they should stay single. And that's why you hear a lot of single people saying, forget love and I want to be single and this and that. That's because the Asmodeus spirit is pulling their strings. So that to me is that's an interesting thing, man. Nikki, what do you think about that?
Well, I didn't know the name of it, but now that I do, it's interesting because a lot of people today say exactly that. I don't think I was meant to be married, or you feel like you're not meant to be married, but you want to do the things that married people do. You want to have sex. You want to be booed up. You even want to have kids outside of marriage. And it's just like, that's something that God did. All that is something that God designed for marriage. And also what I would say with that spirit, you also see a lot of people that are immature. Same type of people, you got a guy that's like 50 years old, still out there, playing in the street, like he 19 or 20, talking about, he just ain't found the right one yet, or he don't think he's ready to settle down. Dude, half your life is already gone. What are you talking about? You don't think you're ready to settle down. Like I said, I didn't know the name of the spirit. But now that I do, I know what I'm looking at. But it's a trip on how many people that spirit actually affects. Even people that call themselves believers, I've heard that come out of people's mouths who call themselves believers, but at the same time got a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Absolutely, Minister Rodney, you've done some research on the same spirit. What can you tell us out there about this spirit and its operations and how it affects us as far as spiritual warfare is concerned?
Oh man, this spirit, boy, right here, boy, this spirit is aggressive. That's one thing about this spirit. This spirit is aggressive. This spirit is foul, very foul, very lustful, a very controlling spirit, and the spirit is very possessive, and this spirit in spiritual warfare, man, this spirit is lying, like Sister Nikki was saying, to where you have single people who want the benefits of a marriage reunion but don't want to commit to a marriage, don't want to get married. They want to have their fun in the sun, but they're receiving a lie from the spirit. This is how the spirit operates. The spirit lies to them and tells them that they don't need a man. And you hear that a lot. You hear women say, well, I don't need a man. And then you hear men say, well, I don't need a woman. You know, even got movies. I can do bad all by myself. You know, within the context, you know, of what I'm saying is that the spirit will lie to you. And in that context of that lie, it also will tell you it's okay for you to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you guys have intercourse outside of marriage, which is against God. And people have fallen so many times into this trap. And then with that spirit, there's other spirits that run with that spirit. This spirit is just not by itself. There's other spirits, because see, these spirits, they run in groups. You know, they run in groups. And there's other spirits that begin to operate within people's lives and controlling them. See, if the enemy can control your mind, he can control you, and that's how he attacks the believer. The people that don't know God, that ain't in the world, he ain't got to worry about them because he already got them. They already caught up in the system that Satan has set within society. You know, but those in the church has been lied to, and like my brother Ronnie was saying that, you know, you have to put on the armor of God and be wise, you know, to the trickery of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. So that's how he's going to come. He's going to come at you, and it's going to sound good. It's going to sound like it's God, you know. But, you know, like I was reading, when I was doing research on this, it was a pastor said that somebody prophesied to him, told him to divorce his wife because she wasn't saved. Now, in Scripture, it says that the unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the spouse that is a believer, right? And what the scripture says in First and the Corinthians. Now
that's what it says.
And that's what it says, right? So you need to discern when someone is talking to you, whether it's of God or it's of the enemy. Now that sounds good. It sounds right. It sounds like that was God. He prophesying in church and this, that, the other. But a couple of days later, his wife got saved, and then the pastor said he recognized that that was a seducing evil spirit trying to pull him away from his wife, you know, and that's what seducing spirits do, because seducing spirits run with the spirit. See, a seducing spirit is a spirit that pulls you away from the things of God, pulls you away from the word of God, and then doctrines of devils, the Bible talks about doctrines of devils. See, doctrines of devil is when you begin to justify the sin. That's what keeps you in the sin, is when you begin to justify it, and that's the doctrine of demons. Seducing spirits seduces you away from the truth. Doctors of devils is when you begin to justify what you're doing, you know. And those are some spirits that run together. And this spirit is a very foul, aggressive spirit. It's an abusive spirit. You know, yeah, I mean, if it can't tear the marriage up, I mean, it will tear the marriage up if you allow it. But this spirit is also, and that's why you see women and men who stay in abusive relationships. No way in God's bring up that God wants you in a relationship, in a situation where a man is putting hands on you. You need to run from that relationship. You need to get out, you know. And when I'm talking about how possessive the spirit is, there's a story in the biblical days about this spirit, that this was the same spirit that killed seven men, killed seven husbands from this one woman who would get married. She got married seven times, and the night of their honeymoon, the man died in the bed. Now, that's not a coincidence. That's a spiritual attack. But this spirit was so aggressive for this woman, he wanted this woman all to himself.
Wow.
And he didn't want this woman to get married. You know, and that just right there just blew my mind. See, this stuff is going on. It's also, like Brother Raz touched on, it's also the same spirit that caused Solomon to have all those concubines, all those wives. Man, I mean, I know there's some serious lust devils out there, but man, that's beyond extreme. That's just way over the top, and that's how the spirit is. The spirit is very, and see, that's possession. You know, can't get enough. Can't get enough. The flesh can't get enough. That lust can never be satisfied. Lust can never be satisfied. That's why lust will grow and grow, and it also deals with even in the situation where you have lesbianism and homosexuality. See, a lot of people don't understand that lesbianism, when you read in the first chapter of Romans, it talks about how their desires has changed. See, a desire is just another level of lust. intimacy, you know, and homosexuality, you know, it's just a whole nother level of lust and lies that they have received from a child. To say that I was born this way, to say that this is the way that God has made me. There's a pastor who came out and said, can the clay say to the potter, you know, you made me thus and thus? You know, there's a pastor who now saying that he's gay and said that this is the way that God has made him. See, he's been deceived. He's received a lie from the devil. See, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And if you're open to his lies, you're going to be deceived. And I think that's going on in the church today because a lot of people aren't reading their Bible. A lot of people aren't in the Word. A lot of people don't have a prayer life. A lot of people don't have a prayer life, a word life. And like Minister Nikki said, they're not fasting. They're not praying. They're not seeking God like they should. They're not identifying the enemy when he comes. You know, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And see, and the enemy, he takes advantage of what you don't know. And that's my comment.
Wow, you heard it, folks. Man, that was good. Well, guys, listen, if you're tuning into this for the first time, we're talking about the reality of spiritual warfare as it pertains to relationships and marriages, and the number to call in is 347-945-7310. Again, that number is 347-945-7310. You know, Minister Rodney, as you were speaking, I was reading about the same spirit and a young lady who went up to her pastor to receive deliverance, she heard the spirit tell her that you don't need to marry that guy. I'm all the husband that you'll ever need. And she heard that voice asleep. I'm like, wow-wee. It's happening, people. I mean, and you know what? For those of you tuning in, we're not trying to be spooky. I know this sounds kind of far-fetched and whatnot, but there's a reality to what we're talking about. We're not giving any credence to the demonic powers. We're just listing the names and the characteristics so you can hopefully identify who your enemy is. Know who your enemy is. Know that you're fighting a real enemy that's invisible, that is manifesting itself in this natural world that we live in. So it's important for you to utilize this information for your benefit. So that's my comment on that. I want to talk about these next group of spirits, and they're called marine spirits, and I'm going to just describe some of their characteristics and their traits. And marine spirits are one of the most destructive evil powers that you can ever come across. These wicked spirits have great influence over mankind on Earth and are extremely vicious, cruel, conceited, evil, merciless, mean, and stubborn. Marine spirits try to control and manipulate every aspect of life, from trade and commerce to marriage and family life. Marine spirits are often responsible for problems such as divorce, dysfunctional homes, chronic spinsterhood, chronic bachelorhood, spiritual husbands, and spiritual wives. So these are the power demons that control the succubus and incubus spirits. They also cause miscarriages, barrenness, rebellion in children, dream attacks, persistent financial stagnation, and failure in life. When you hear marine spirit, the first that comes to your mind is water or river, and you're not wrong, because marine spirits are water spirits or spirits that comes and dwells in the river. They execute their plans by possessing either a man or a woman. The marine kingdom is one of Satan's departments headed by a queen, popularly known as the Queen of the Coast. The earth is divided into the air, the land, and the sea. So when God made Genesis, he gave Adam dominion over the fish, over the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing. So when Satan stole dominion of the earth, he then set up his power structure of control in these different areas of life. So there are two different types of marine spirits, which we call conscious mariners and unconscious mariners. The conscious marine agents are those that know they are possessed, while the unconscious mariners don't know they are possessed. Marine spirits possess females more than males. They do so to oppress men and scatter homes. Since the man is the head of the home, their primary tool is sex. They're extremely fashion crazy. They dress to attract on purpose. They walk to attract on purpose. This marine spirit pushes single ladies to date married men without any remorse whatsoever. They take delight in breaking the hearts of their victims so as to render them emotionally unstable. Once a person is unstable emotionally, he is sure to make wrong choices, wrong decisions, and undoubtedly destroy his life. They neutralize the willpower of their victims through sex. They are very unstable in relationships. They cannot keep a relationship for too long. They pretend a lot and change their voices to fit the mood they're in. Falling in love with a lady possessed with a spirit is the worst thing that a man could ever do, because the moment he decides to end the relationship, she begins to behave well, and the moment the man changes his mind, she starts tormenting the emotion of the man, constantly frustrating that man. Those who are possessed with this marine spirit without knowing can easily be delivered by getting closer to things of God and His Word. Lesbianism, homosexuality, and indecency are also marine initiations. They're also party freaks. The spirit pushes young, talented, beautiful girls into ruin. And whoo, that's a lot on it, man. What, Ronnie, what do you have to say about that, man?
Man, that's deep, and I'm glad you're giving up this information. And, you know, like you said, you know, for those that think this is far-fetched, you know, go do some homework yourselves and go look into these things. These things aren't new. These things have been on the earth for thousands of years. Some of them go by different names. Some cultures call them different things. But what culture has done over time that we can use to our advantage is that they were able to put into a category the effects of these spiritual entities so that we can identify and name them and come against them. So, you know, do your research and come against these things, because this is what the enemy has been using on this earth to do his will from the unseen realm. And I know I got some family in Haiti, and, you know, they have 21 entities, and there's one entity that does interfere with marriage. And, you know, like the man would actually have to give it a day of the week and not touch his wife. And, you know, it's just, these things exist is what I'm saying. So as a believers, you know, unfortunately here in America, the closest we can get to these principalities and their characteristics is maybe a horror movie here and there, or, you know, something disguised as a sitcom when it's really, you know, a disguised entity with a history and, you know, with allegiance and worship on this earth. So do your homework.
Absolutely, Ronnie. Minister Wadney, what do you have to say about the marine spirits, man?
Man, the Marines. That's a deep spirit,
man.
Brother. That's a deep spirit, man. I haven't done a whole lot of research on it, but that's you know, like I said, it's a weapon of the enemy. And one thing I do want to say is that all these things are set up, you know, against the believer. But the Bible talks about that we have the power and the authority. You know, when Jesus sent out the 70, you know, they came back rejoicing and saying that even the demons are subject to us. Well, you know, and Jesus told them, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your name are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But one of the points that I want to say is that no matter what these spirits try to do and try to accomplish, we as the believers, we have the authority, we have the power, we have been deputized by Christ. You know, when we come in His name, we come in the authority and the power of Christ, you know, and these demons have to flee. We have the authority. We as the Christians, that's why we need to be on our game. We need to be on our knees praying. And we need to, as the Bible says, watch and pray. Not just pray, but watch and pray. And that word watch means to be alert. We need to be alert in the spirit realm to know what's happening, to know what's going on. And that's why this conversation today, this topic today is so vital. And so important, because there's a lot of believers out there that do not understand what we're talking about, because they're in the dark. Because like Brother Ronnie said, they don't do the research, they don't do the homework, they don't, you know, gather information. And for those that do not know the Lord, it's going on. And maybe that's why, maybe that's why you do have a lot of turmoil in your life, because you're being controlled and dominated by spirits, you know, that you don't know nothing about, you know, but there is an answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus has defeated the enemy. You know, he's an eternally defeated foe. So it's nothing to be scared of. We just shedding light. We just shining the spotlight on the enemy, letting him know that we're seeing what he's trying to do, and his kingdom will not prevail. You know, we know that that in the end that we win. So there's nothing to be scared of. You have to be spooked, but this thing is real. These things is what's happening. You know, the enemy is serious. God is very serious, and we as believers, we need to be serious. You know, and that's my comment.
Absolutely, and that's a very good point, Minister Rodney. We know we're not. This show is not to scare or spook people. This is just to really let you know who the real enemy is. And you're right. We do have power. And based upon what you were saying, Minister Rodney, I want to give some scriptures, and I want to refer us to Psalms 91 verse 13. It says, "You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample
yes.
the great lion and
yes.
and the serpent." I want to talk about
yes.
Mark 16:18. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. And so these are just more scriptures that reinforce that we have authority over every power and work of darkness that tries to hinder our lives. So there's no need for us to walk in fear. There's no need for us to be afraid. There's no need for us to be doubtful or nervous or anxious about what the enemy tried to do. But we have to know who your enemy is once again. I want to talk about Luke 1:1. Many have undertaken to draw up on the count of things that have been fulfilled amongst us. And Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Luke 10:17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Wow. So, Minister Rodney, you said it correctly. You have to be saved. The name of Jesus is a name that's above all every name. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. I want to talk about hindering spirits. A hindering spirit is an evil spirit sent forth for the purpose of trying to stop your God-given assignment by creating distractions, strange trials, situations, circumstances, sudden things popping up. Abnormal hindrances making your work or your life really trying to make your life difficult. Many times in life we come against circumstances that seem almost impossible to get through. We push, we fight, we push, we fight, and we try to control whatever situation may be keeping us from getting an answer or even getting what we need. These are situations where people do not realize that you're probably dealing with a hindering spirit sent from Satan to try to cause you to make choices and go in an area that God doesn't want you to be in. Minister Rodney, man, I want to talk about hindering spirits and how that can really affect believers and in the world today as far as their walk.
I believe a hindering spirit is a spirit, you know, for one, he's trying to hinder you from your purpose and destiny. He's trying to hinder you in every way that he can to neutralize you. From being effective the way that God desires for you to be effective as a believer, as a Christian. And the hindering spirit would do all kind of stuff. He would even send things your way, you know, to hinder you, you know, good ideas as far as what you would think is God, you know, and it's not of God, but it sounds good. You know, hindering spirits come, he bring all kind of stuff to hinder you in every way, form, or fashion. You know, and some things are appealing, I think one of the things that, since we talk about relationships and marriage, that the hindering spirit will bring something, you know, a relationship that's not right. You touched on how married men can fall into relationships with women. You know it's wrong. That's a hindrance in their walk with God. Literally, you know, it stops you. You know, stops you dead in your tracks. You know, and we need to be aware of a hindering spirit. Anything that does not line up with the Word of God, you know, can be a hindrance in your life. You know, anything that's of dead works can be a hindrance. Anything that's not of time value. That's things that are just not good works, things that are a waste of your time. That's a hindrance, you know, because the time is so precious. and we don't have time to play games. We don't have time to do all kind of unnecessary stuff. And the enemy will try to get you so busy to where you can't even focus on the things of God and what you need to be doing for God. You're so over in left field trying to accomplish this, that, and the other, and it's all to the not, all not to the good. You know what I'm saying? So we need to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and not being led by the dictates of the flesh, and just be on guard. Be on guard for that hindering spirit, you know, and just be watchful and prayerful. That's my comment.
Wow. Well, honey, what do you have to say about hindering spirits, man?
Well, I know that, you know, of course, by the title, they do, you know, put obstructions in your life and things of that nature. But as a non-believer, you probably won't be aware of it and chalk it off to coincidence or, you know, some sort of philosophy to where it's okay for you to not have dominion. But as a believer, in accepting the Savior, all the works of the enemy are undone in our lives. And so that doesn't mean the enemy won't attempt to, you know, send some sort of obstruction or hindering spirit in your life, but you need to take dominion over it, and you need to first recognize that this isn't something that I should be halted in. Then once you recognize that you should be going further, then you take dominion as far as, either putting your life in order, you know, and making sure you're not the cause of this spirit being allowed to disturb you. And so it's really just being aware, you know, because there's so many things. The thing is, the Father put us here to have dominion. He put us here to be fruitful and multiply. And so if you look at your life and that's not lining up, you want to see what in the spirit realm have I overlooked, or what am I allowing to take place in my life that's keeping me from, you know, from what God has given me. So yeah, the hindering spirits, in any other spirit that might come against you, you need to first recognize it, and then take the proper action to come against it and overcome it.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I've noticed, guys, in life is that sometimes the life as a believer consists of conflicts and spiritual battles and attacks, and we're always going to be fighting something in some form or fashion, and whether it's a bad attitude or bad spirits or spiritual opposition or persecution. This is why we must not give up. We have to endure the race in life and trust God to carry us through to the finish end. And so, guys, if any of you out there listening and you listen to the podcast in the future and you're going through a battle, it could be an emotional battle where you love that person, and for some reason it's just not clicking, it's not vibing, you can't come together, there's always confusion, there's, you know, trusting God. If you're going through a financial midnight or you're going through a health battle, just trusting God and know that God loves you, know that God is gonna see you through to the end. Don't give up. Do not give up, because these things, sometimes these things are caused by demonic spirits that are trying to get you to give up in life, get you to commit suicide and do all kinds of crazy things that you ordinarily wouldn't do and take away your hope. Can we talk about that, Minister Rodney?
Yes, that's so very powerful what you just said, brother. And that's one of the things that the enemy is banking on. He's banking on wearing you down, getting you to quit, getting you to throw in the towel. And his ultimate goal is for you to take yourself out. You know, and that's demonic oppression. That's demonic influence. You know, the enemy is going to lie to you. He's going to do everything he can to hinder you, to stop you. You know, but like Brother Raz was saying, man, do not give up. Do not quit. Do not throw in the towel. You know, there's a breakthrough for you on the other side if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, Christ is the answer. You know, turn your life over to Christ. And, you know, I'm not saying if you turn your life over to Christ that everything's going to be perfect. But what I am saying, if you turn your life over to Christ, you will gain the tools to fight the enemy and to be victorious. you know, and that's my comment.
Absolutely. Well, man, it's an interesting show tonight, guys. Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of what I just said about the, you know, when Daniel was praying to God and the Prince of Persia withstood him for 3 days, and it seemed like God wasn't really answering his prayers. It seemed like God wasn't really being responsive. It seemed like he was being ignored, and that time Daniel could have, you know, he could have, you know, caved in and really buckled under the pressure, but the angel said, "No, Daniel, I mean, we heard you. We heard you the first time you prayed, but a principality, a spirit, the Prince of Persia withstood me, and I had to call for backup. I had to call for Michael to punch him down." Man. So if it happened to Daniel back then, what has happened to us right now? What are you going to say about that, Mr. Ronnie?
I just say, when we're reading in our Bibles, everything in there pertains to us. So that's a possibility in our lives as well. And, you know, if you really look into that Prince of Persia and the King of Persia and all that, it's the entity behind the leadership that was on land. That's what was coming against Daniel in the spiritual realm, trying to keep Daniel's prayer from coming through. And so, that's an example to let you know that there's a war going on in the spirit, that you have to really assert yourself and, like, apply yourself to your prayer life, to your level of belief, because, like, a lot of the things we see that the disciples had problem with is because of their level of belief, and it was okay to ask to increase their level of belief. So we need to go into that part of life, that spiritual part of life, and be strong in our trust in the Father, trust in the fact that our prayers are being heard, trust in the scriptures that say, and apply the examples. You know what I mean? They're there for you to do. Like, it says ask and keep asking. It says knock and keep knocking. You know, and this was an illustration to tell you, in the spiritual realm, you have to be persistent. So if we're persistent in our belief, meaning we're not going to be shaken in our belief, if we're persistent in our prayer life, knowing that the enemy is the prince and the power of the air, and my prayers are going through his realm. And so we just need to really focus on taking the spiritual realm seriously. And so, you know, these are examples for us. You know, if you're praying and things aren't coming through, the Bible says to keep on praying, because you might be in a Daniel situation where, you know, you've been heard. It's just that there's a war going on in the unseen realm. So Daniel was patient and Daniel was persistent, and, you know, he got the victory. So it's the same for us. These are examples for us. We're in that company. So if you have to war in the spirit, guess what? You're in good company. You're in good company with David. You're in good company with Daniel, with Savior, with Paul. So, you know, this is this is a fact of life for us, the spiritual. So just stay encouraged and know that everything that we're dealing with is rooted in the spiritual realm, where we have the victory in the Savior.
Absolutely. You know, guys, well, listen, I want to start, you know, making this more into a positive note. I think, you know, people are, like, freaked out right now. That's okay. But, you know, Minister Rodney, you touched upon a little bit a while ago about how do we gain victory through the blood of Jesus? How do we gain victory over these demonic forces and these wicked spirits we described in the show today? I mean, you know, as it pertains to everyday life, how do believers, you know, and even those people out there who are listening who may not be believers, I mean, what are the things that they need to do to really have authority over these spirits?
Well, one, we have to know that the devil is eternally defeated, him and his foes, and two, that we have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the authority. And you take a look at the example of when Satan came to Moses, I mean, yeah, when Satan came to the archangel Michael concerning the body of Moses in the book of Jude, verse 20, then it talks about how Satan wanted the body of Moses and how Michael did not bring a charge against him or even argue with him. But Michael said, you know, the Lord rebuke you. And see, Michael understood and knows where the authority comes from. You know, the authority comes from God. And in the name of God, Michael rebuked Satan. And Satan had to go. You know, he had to flee. You know, but in reality, Michael is a bigger, stronger angel. Michael's name means one that is like God. And Michael could have fought Satan. He could have destroyed him right there, but he didn't because he understood the authority that he's coming in. He's coming in the authority of God. And so, and that's the same way that we have to deal with the devil. You see, when Jesus was tempted, like my brother was touching on, when he was tempted in the garden, you see what Jesus did. Jesus used the word of God. He said, it is written. It is written in the same way. We're no different. You know, we have to use the word of God and enforce Satan's defeat, enforce, you know, whatever he's trying to do. You know, we have to counteract what he does through the word of God and also our lifestyle and obedience to God, because that is a weapon as well, because we don't want no hindrances in our lives and we don't want no open doors where the enemy can get in, you know. And but the Bible specifically talks about the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, it gives you a list of the weapons, you know. And the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 10, 3, I think it is, where the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means fleshly, but mighty in God. See, it's the mighty weapons of God, which is the word of God, which is the Spirit of God, you know, that we use against the enemy. Because, believe it or not, spirits, demonic spirits, Satan and all them, they were created. Even when you do, like, more research, they were created. They respond to authority. As rebellious as they is, they do respond to authority, and they respond to the authority of God. And that's how we have to deal with them on a daily basis. You know, and it also talks about in James where the Bible says that we are what to submit ourselves unto God and to resist the devil, and he will flee. See, but we have to do the first part, submit ourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he has to flee. And that's my comment on that.
Absolutely. Brother Ronnie, same question to you, sir.
Well, you know, Rodney said it right. You know, the upside, here's the upside. In the spiritual battle, in the spiritual realm, in this act of the spiritual things, once we submit ourselves to God, we have the power to resist the devil, and he has to flee. Once we are covered by believing the blood that was shed on the cross to wipe away our sins, to give us eternal life, and to also empower us, we can use the authority of our Father and our Savior to come against every and any obstacle. That's why you have to understand who the Savior is. He's supreme over all creation and in his authority. That's better than saying I'm going to go get my big brother, or that's even better than saying I'm going to go get my pistol. The authority of the Savior is greater than every and any thing that is created. And you got to remember, these demonic beings are just creation. They're not equal to God. The devil is not equal to God. The devil is wants to be above God, but you know, there's a lot of wannabes out there that will never be. And so once you understand the position of the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of truth, that's what goes before you. It's not you. It's not how mad you get. It's not how frustrated you get. This war has nothing to do with you. The authority wins this battle. And so the authority of the Father is what we use, is what the Savior used in the wilderness to come against every and any kind of demonic force. But, it just comes with learning. And when your patience, the scripture says, when your patience is tested, that's going to produce endurance. And once you get that spiritual endurance, you'll be able to see when a friend's going through something, or you'll be able to see that, you'll be able to spot the junk from a mile away. And then you know immediately to submit to God, meaning submit to His authority, automatically know that it's in God that I have this victory, not in my own attempts. I'm not doing this on my own. Just like the example the brother gave with Michael, angels are greater than that. And even this angel said, I'm going to do this under the authority that's above all authority. But we should be walking in the same way. So anything coming up against you, your family, your life, you know, in the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have power to get things done. You have power to command things to change. And like I said earlier, it depends on your level of belief. You want to believe. You want to be totally in belief without any doubt. No doubt. I don't doubt the authority of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't doubt my relationship with it in this covenant. And this is where your power is. And so there is, you do have victory once you submit to God. This is one of the promises that we have in this new covenant.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's an awesome point. And you know what? It looks like we've Nick has been abducted by aliens again this week, man. I don't know what it is with the aliens, Lonnie, but every week she seems to be being abducted, man. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, you know, we're coming to the end of the show, and I wanted to kind of get some closing comments from Minister Rodney, then you, Rodney, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Okay.
Minister Rodney, so do you have any closing comments, and what did you think of tonight's show?
Man, I think tonight's show was so awesome. I love the topic that we talked about. I love the truth that we brought out from the Word of God. And I pray that every person that's listening tonight will take these truths and begin to apply it in their lives, and not only to apply it, but also begin to live this out in your life, and also to be aware that, you know, we are in a spiritual battle, and our adversary, which is the devil, is serious. He takes this serious, and I think that we need to take it serious too. And be on guard. And one thing I want to leave you with is just continue to strive, you know, for the kingdom of God. Continue to seek God's face. Continue to pray. Continue to bring your word. Meditate in your word daily. Continue to renew your mind daily within the Word of God. Begin to see things through the lens of Christ. And I pray for each and every one of you, that those that are married, that your marriages will be strengthened because of this. I pray for those that are single, that you will begin to have hope and a faith in your heart concerning a godly mate, and that God has your best interest at hand. And that's my closing comments.
Absolutely. Great point. Mr. Ronnie, what's your closing comments, sir?
Well, my closing comments are, I just want the believers and non-believers out there to acknowledge the spirit realm. Acknowledge it. It's the root. Just like you don't see the roots of a plant or a tree, they're there, and they're the cause of the plant or the tree. So acknowledge the spiritual realm. For the believers that know that we're a triune creation, just like we're from a triune creator, you are part flesh that we see in the mirror every day. You're part soul or psyche or mind or heart that you balance every day, and you're also part spirit. So we don't neglect our minds. We don't neglect our bodies. But let's not neglect our spirit. And there is a spiritual realm. Read your Bible. You know, do some homework, do some research. And do it from the position of knowing that if you are in Christ, if you are in the Messiah, you have victory over all these things by the authority of the Savior. And so just acknowledge and get familiar with this. This is not something that we're taught in schools, and this is not something that we're shown in the proper light. you know, the demons aren't always horned monsters with big teeth. You know, the enemy is a subtle enemy, very subtle. Subtle. It has to approach you in a way that won't turn you off. So you have to have a, you have to be able to discern and test every spirit. And so, you know, the more you acknowledge your spirit realm, the more you operate in the dominion that you have according to the promises in the spirit realm, you'll be able to see that a lot of the things that we grew up thinking was the neighbor, or it was because of race, or it was because of culture, was all the cause of it all was just something in the spirit realm that, you know, we gave opportunity to deceive us. So just
absolutely.
That's it.
Lonnie, we got to go. Thank you, guys. Tune in same time next week for Can We Talk. Peace.
Peace.
And so it begins. Who would have ever thought that this day was bright? I got a deal writing rhymes just to stage for fright. Mother speaking wisdom to my heirs, giving great advice. At times I write only just to see my status like rhyme. With so much folly up in my trolley, can God use someone like me? And I keep asking the same question, see my brow stay sweating, but the spirit gives rest indeed. It's not about you, young Essie says. I decrease the increase in my sentences. I need Jesus' deep thesis that is heaven sent. Please believe it is Him that I'm resting in. Lean since I get my strength from the bread of life, so I feast on and drink water from His well. Should I keep going? See sipping, see spitting, I'm in deep thought. This ordeal made me feel I should cease flawing. Can you see the fears up in my eyes, homie? I still muse upon the words that Shy told me about the woman that I care for. Time show me awaken love before time, and you sigh only. But I only rise up in my mind, rest in God's great love, memorize what has been tried and tested. I'm the reason my impressions were depressive, but I am never the one to take an antidepressant, but...